Alrighty. I am going on a journey tomorrow. Who wants to go with me? I think that would be the first question that a prudent person would ask. Where are you going? And my answer would be, I don't have the slightest idea. Now I answered your question. Who wants to go with me? Still nobody. Well, that might be a good question. Second question you might want to ask is, how long will it take to get there? And I would answer, I don't have the slightest idea. If I don't know where I'm going, how can I know how long it'll take? How long will you be there? And I'd answer once again, I have no idea how long we'll be there. What are you going to do when you get there? And I would answer, I have no idea. Anyone going with me yet? Will we ever come back to where we are now? And I would answer, no. Anyone want to go along? One last thing. Why are you going? And I would answer, because God told me to go. Now who wants to go with me? And I would ask you, did he call you too? I want to deal tonight with the call of God. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and the 8th verse. Tonight I want to start a very short series of messages, 5 of them total, on the life of Abraham and Sarah. And I'm going to use Hebrews chapter 11, what's written there about them, as an outline for these messages. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. Where are you going? I don't know. How long are you going to be there? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. Will we ever come back? No, because that will be my inheritance. He was called of God to leave. And I want to look at that call, and you probably know where that call is found. It's found in Genesis chapter 12. The first couple of verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Future tense. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, which would include the golf clubs there, Mike. So, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. 6 things that I see in this passage tonight. Actually, 5 of them come out of this passage and 1 out of another verse, which I will add at the end, concerning the call of God. First one is this. The call of God may only have the details of today given in it initially. On the day that God called Abraham, all he knew is, you're going somewhere that I will lead you to. That's it. Not much to go on. Sometimes the will of God is that indefinite. For most of us, that's a problem. We like to have, or at least most of us like to have, things ordered. We have things on our calendars. Carol and I are going to go in a couple of weeks. We want to take a couple of days and go into Lancaster and visit family and friends and do a few things in there. We sat down the other day. We got our calendars out to see when would be a good time to go. At this point in our lives, most of the appointments that are written on our calendars have the word or the letters DR in front of them. And there's a number of those things. We know, or at least we think we know, what we're going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Problem is, none of us have the assurance that we're going to wake up tomorrow. And that's why James tells us, don't say I'm going to go into the city tomorrow to buy and to sell. Say if the Lord wills, we're going in there. Because we don't know. And God forbid something should happen to any of us tonight that we won't be here tomorrow unless it's the rapture. And that would be fine. But nonetheless, we still don't know tomorrow. And all we know with an absolute certainty is what God is doing in our lives this very moment. And that's as far as we can get with any certainty. God doesn't always give the details of what tomorrow is going to be. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Some people take the verse, don't be anxious for tomorrow because the evils of the day are sufficient of themselves. Doesn't mean you shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Jesus has a plan. God the Father has a plan for tomorrow. Of course, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But his details of his call may only tell us what's going on right now. And Abraham said, that's enough for me. The God who is calling me knows what tomorrow will bring, and I trust him that it'll be right. So therefore, I will obey him today. Second thing, the call of God is specific to you alone, although others may hear the same call. Now, that sounds a little bit like double talk. So let me explain what I mean by that. There are at least three different calls that are available to anyone and everyone. There is the call to salvation. Jesus put it this way, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He told the disciples in Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world. And if we didn't go into all the world, that would mean that somewhere in the world wasn't needed to be gone to. But if we're to go to all the world, then we need to go to all. All can hear the gospel invitation, and therefore we need to do that, and so forth. There's a call that goes out to be saved. There's a call that goes out for discipleship. Peter put it in his first epistle that Christ has left us an example to follow in his steps. And we are to follow along. Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. So there's a call to discipleship of what I spoke on this morning of putting away sin and putting on the person of Jesus Christ. That's a call that anyone can have as long as they've responded to the first one. There's a vocational call. And you say, well, I thought that's only for pastors and missionaries. No. God is sovereign over every vocation in life. And the person who preaches the gospel is just as important in the will of God as the person who washes dishes, as long as they're in the will of God. That's a vocational call. So the whole world can hear the call of the gospel. The whole world, if they respond to it, could respond in discipleship and follow in that call. There's a call for everyone in the world in the will of God for a vocation. So multiple people can hear the same type of call. But when the call is given, it's given in an individual manner. I know of people that have made professions of faith because they were part of a group that heard the gospel. And I was in that group. Well, yeah, the whole group heard the call, but did you respond individually to the call? Well, you know, I belong to this church, and this church is a Bible-believing church. Yes, but are you personally taking in the Bible and following after? There's a whole bunch of us that do the same job, but is the whole bunch of you doing that in the will of God? Or do you find that just what you like to do? The call of God is specifically given to you alone, although others may hear the call. Thirdly, the call of God is a call that guarantees blessings to others as well as self when faithfully obeyed. Look again at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, or 12, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I was thinking about that as far as it applies to me. And I said, well, are they going to make a great nation of me? Don't think so. Four kids, 11 grandkids. That doesn't constitute a nation. So we'll skip that one. I will make thy name great. So I sat down and I started counting. How many people know who Paul Reiner is? And I've counted the people, or at least estimated, the number of people that I have come in contact with in my lifetime. In my high school class, there was 200 plus. So there's 200 plus people that would know me from high school, plus a few more in other grades. When I went off to Appalachian Bible College, well, Jim and Kathy know me. That's 202. And a few others. What would you say? Maybe what was the population? About 150 students there, roughly, something like that. So we're up to 350 and a few others that would be there. Students at Central Seminary, there might be, 30 or so people there that would know me. Couple hundred people here over the 31 years that I've been here that would know me. Neighbors in the cities and towns in which I live, you add them all together. The greatest number that I could come up with was maybe 2,000. And Facebook friends. 2001. I don't think that makes my name great. It hardly constitutes that. But has God blessed me? Oh yeah. The very fact that I stand here redeemed tonight is blessing enough. He's blessed me with a loving wife. He's blessed me with four children who've married four wonderful spouses and have given me 11 fantastic grandkids. Just that alone is, he's blessed me financially. During the Bible college days, I was accused of being a tightwad. As we were living on a shoestring, I said to my wife, I am not a tightwad. I am a no-wad. Didn't have a wad to hold on to tightly. God has blessed me. And I don't have to worry about that anymore. God has blessed abundantly with just being in the presence of you guys. And over and over and over. Well, how did he do that? Because I'm in his will. And I trust during the course of my life that I've been a blessing to others. I trust as I've been allowed to present the Word of God, it's been a blessing to people. I trust as I've used my resources for the benefit of others, it's been a blessing to them. It's a call that guarantees blessing as well as to others as well as self. When you are in the will of God, when you respond to his call faithfully, even when you don't know where it's leading you, God says, I'll bless you there. Fourthly, it's a call that does not necessarily exclude difficulties, but always includes the ability to accomplish it. Look once again, verse 3. Here's something that I never saw before in all the years that I've read this passage until I was preparing for this message. And I will bless them, plural, that bless thee, and curse him who curses thee. There are going to be many that will bless you. There will be few that will curse you. If you're in the will of God, you'll receive more blessings than opposition, but you will receive opposition. And Abraham surely did. But God says, I'll take care of it. Those that bless you, I will see that they are blessed. And why will God do that? So they continue to bless the one who's in the will of God. And the one that curses you, I will curse him. Why? So he will stop it. But God says, if I have a call for you to go somewhere and there's going to be opposition to it, I'll provide the means that will enable you to accomplish where I'm calling you to go. And I'll bless you for it. Number 5. The call of God brings trouble when not obeyed explicitly. Look at verse 1 again. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Wait a minute. That's kindred. Lot was not supposed to go with him. And when Lot went with him, what did Lot do? It caused him a lot of problems. Let's see, they go out and they're coming down into the land of Canaan, and the scripture tells us that there was trouble between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot because their possessions were great and they were fighting over the land. And Abram had to step in and say, look, this shouldn't be between us. You choose a land and I'll choose a land and we'll separate. Well, that should have happened some time ago. But now they're separated. And Lot chooses, he looks off towards Sodom and he said, wow, what a place that is. Man, I could even be richer there. And he chooses that. And what happens during the course of time? Well, there was a federation of 5 kings that came down against the cities of Sodom and the cities around them, and they took Lot and others captive, and Abraham had to go and rescue him. He didn't need that. God didn't call him for that, but now it's necessary. So he goes and he rescues them, and Lot comes back, and he gets entrenched in the city of Sodom, and you know the problems that are there, and the lifestyle was so abhorrent. But as they're leaving, his wife looks back, turns to a pillar of salt, and Lot has to escape to the mountains with his 2 daughters who have incestual relationships with him and become the parents of the Ammonites and the Moabites, probably the 2 greatest antagonists of the children of Israel in the days to come. If Lot had only stayed behind, if Abram would have said, nope, you're not coming with me, would have avoided a whole lot of trouble. But when the will of God is not obeyed expediently or explicitly, trouble will ensue. But here's the last thing. It's a call that must be responded to without delay or exception. Look once again. Here's another thing that I never saw before until this week. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Past tense. meaning before this verse, God had spoken to him. Well, let's go back in chapter 11 and see what we find there. Verse 31, and Terah, that would be Abram's father, took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, the son of Abram's wife, or his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Terah was heading off to Canaan. Henry Morris, in his commentary on the book of Genesis, which is an excellent, excellent commentary, the Genesis record, says that there's a possibility, if not even a probability, that originally the call was to Terah and Abram and Lot to go to Canaan. But instead of going to Canaan, they went to Haran. Haran was about 600 miles northwest of the Ur of the Chaldees. Canaan was about 600 miles due west. They took a detour. Now, there's a couple of possibilities that might make this detour acceptable in the sight of God. Haran is a city that most people believe was named after Terah's other son by the name of Haran. He was a prominent one there. And seemingly the city or town was named after him. According to verse, I know where it is in my Bible at home, but I'm having trouble finding it here. It's in here somewhere. Haran came back to the Ur of the Chaldees, and there he died. And it may be that Terah says, you know what, I've got to take my son up to where he's made funeral arrangements for himself. He wants to be interred there. Therefore, I have to go back to the city, and then I'm going to Canaan to go there. That's a possibility. A second possibility is, rather than going across the desert or the wilderness due west, it's a whole lot nicer to travel up the Euphrates River. Going to be a whole lot of water that you can drink along the way. And maybe that's why they chose to go that route. But nonetheless, they got up to Haran and they stayed there. And they accumulated a lot of wealth there. And it's there that God then is speaking to Abram and saying, look, originally I wanted the whole bunch of you to go there. But your father and your nephew are so engrossed in the things of this city and making money that I want you to get away from them. And that town was right along a trade route. It was very prosperous. And consequently, they left them, or he left Terah there. Lot says, oh, I'll go along with you. Had he responded to the call immediately, all those other troubles would have never happened. Turn with me, Luke chapter 9. For a similar incident happened in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Lord, I'm willing to come with you. And the Lord said, did I call you? I think in the back of the Lord's mind, Lord knew what was going on in this man's heart. And I wonder if this man said, look, this guy's got a lot of fame associated with him. If I'd follow after him, I'd be associated with him, and he has the fame, I'd be associated with the fame. Lord would make a great name of me, as well as Peter and John and Matthew and all those other guys. I could be in that group, and man, people for centuries on down would recognize me. Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But it's very possible. Because look at the response. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. Now, would you want to live in a hole in the ground? Or would you want to live in a bunch of straw or pieces of twigs and grass? The homes that they have are pitiful. Sufficient for those things, for the animals. But the Son of Man doesn't even have that. You're thinking it would be so great to follow me. The birds and the foxes have it better than I do when they go to bed at night. You're looking at it for gain rather than what you can do to serve me. And he said, no. Verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. Now here's a man he actually did call to follow. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, you look at that and you say, well, that's a reasonable request. Look at the response of Jesus. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What's he talking about here? This man's father hadn't died yet. He was on his way, but not yet. Could have been tomorrow, could have been the next day, could have been a month from now, could have been a year from now, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All he knew is he's getting up there, and one of these days he's going to die, and I need to be around to bury him. So, Lord, I'll be glad to follow you, but not yet. Let the dead bury their dead. I want you to speak to the living, to the ones who are dead that yet want to be alive. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Now, that seems like a reasonable request as well. You know what? Mom and dad are there, and if I just don't show up and say, hey, I'm leaving, they're going to think, you know, a bear attacked me and I got killed or something like that. I want to go home and just say, see you later, I'm going. I'm going away, we better have a party. I better get all that's coming to me. There's this Hebrew boy that I know of that went to his father and said, Lord, Father, I'm going away, give me my inheritance now. I want mine too. And Jesus said unto him, no man having his put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Not fit for entrance into the kingdom of God, fit for service in the kingdom of God. You're out there plowing in the field. Well, you're already in the field. But if you're going like this, you're not going to do the owner of the field very much good. Call of God is a call that must be responded to without delay, without exception, no matter how rough it may be. Carol tells a story when we went off to ABC. We left the end of October 1984, got down there. Her parents came down to visit, I think it was the end of November. By that time, all the leaves had dropped off of the trees. And if at that time when you went down there, you went through some very barren places. It was called the driveway up to ABC. No, it wasn't that bad. When she got there, Carol will tell you, she was wondering to herself, where did he take my grandkids? But God called me to go. And I had to go. I had to meet Jim and Kathy. Had to. You might not be here today. Who knows? If it wasn't for that. Jesus calls us. Abram obeyed, not knowing where he was going. And the key was by faith. Are you willing to respond to the call of God, whatever it may be, and trust him for it? And God says, if you do, I will bless you. Bless them to curse you. I will give you the ability to accomplish what I want you to do. And it'll be worth it all. Trust me. Let's pray, Father. Who knows what tonight's going to happen? Who knows what will happen tomorrow or the next day? And among us, the answer is no one. But I am so thankful that the answer is found with a positive yes by the one to whom we are praying now. You know. And we rest in that. We rest in the fact that where you lead, you lead. We follow after you. You're with us. Where you lead is a place where we can accomplish much. Be blessed from you. Be a blessing to others. Lord, when we are intimidated with the uncertainties of life, may we be found faithful with the certainties of who you are and found obedient to your will and accomplishing your calling in our lives, whatever it may be. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Have a good week.